Welcome to episode 310 of the Divine Intervention Life Lessons podcast. In today's podcast, we're going to be starting a new series on the church in Sardis. A series on the church in Sardis. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time in your presence. We thank you for the grace to hear your word. We ask, O Lord, that may you please cleanse us of all our sins. We ask that may your spirit fill us afresh. May our hearts be prepared to receive your word. May you come and speak to us expressly by your spirit and give us the grace to not just be hearers only, but also doers of your word. It's in your mighty name we pray. Amen. So, we're going to begin a new series on the church in Sardis. And again, you may notice the flavor of the last couple of podcasts. We've really been trying to go through the seven churches in some way, shape, or form. You know, as a summary, we've kind of discussed four churches, right? If you kind of go through, and I also have some earlier series on these churches, but again, I approach them from different from a somewhat different perspective in recent times, right? So the first church we visited was the church in Ephesus, right? This was a church where we said, hey, you don't want to retire in your walk with God. You want to stay hungry, right? And then the second church we talked about was the church in Smyrna, right? This was a church that went through a lot of suffering. And we basically discussed the purpose of suffering. And then number three, we talked about the church in Pergamum. We talked about how the devil works in a unique way, right? He tries an outside job. He can try to see if he can derail you from your faith through persecution. But if that doesn't work, he can try an inside job. So what's that inside job? It's like seduction on the path of the, you know, seduction with the things of the world so that you can, you know, basically self-destruct and fall away. And then in recent times, we spent time on Thyatira, the church in Thyatira. We had about four podcasts on those where we talked about the church that was compromised, you know, the church that compromised, the church that was tolerant of evil, right? We talked about how, you know, little things you tolerate can become big problems, right? And we said that, hey, when discipline happens, it really instills holy fear in the people that undergo the discipline and also instills holy fear in people that see what happens when a person gets disciplined. So I think today, a good segue is to go ahead and talk about the church in Sardis, the church in Sardis, right? So we're going to read from the book of Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, okay? We're going to read from Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. And I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version, the New King James Version. So it says, "And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief. And you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments. And I will not blot out his name from the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Right? So this is a church that honestly has mostly cons, but they have a few pros here and there, right? They have pros and cons, right? But honestly, this church is pretty close to the church in Laodicea, which I'm trusting the Lord that if the Lord tarries, we'll at some point talk about the church in Laodicea, right? This church barely had a pro, right? And unfortunately, this letter to this church applies to lots of churches we see today, applies to lots of Christians we have today, right? And the thing is, God makes it a point to start off with their cons because these people have a large number of cons. So I think that's a very good place to begin, right? Like if we see in verse 1, it says, "I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. You are dead. You are dead," right? So the thing is, what does this point bring up? This point brings up the whole concept of reputation versus reality. Reputation versus reality, right? Because the thing is, man may only see a small snippet of who you are. But the thing is, the person that sees the whole picture is God. God literally sees the whole picture of who you are, right? Man may see the Sunday version of you, you know, that version that comes to church and lifts up hands in the church. But God sees the entire week's version of you. He sees exactly what you do in your secret place from Monday to Sunday. Man may see the outside, but God sees the inside, right? You may look alive on the outside, but you may actually be dead. In fact, to buttress this point, I want us to look at the book of Matthew chapter 23, verses 27 to 28. Matthew 23, verses 27 to 28. So let me just buzz over there real quick. Matthew 23, verses 27 to 28. And again, I'm going to be using the New King James Version, right? It says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Right? So these people, on the outside, they look very clean, right? Look at the term whitewashed tombs. So they're tombs on the inside, but they are whitewashed on, you know, on the outside, right? So the question is not what does is not what man says about you. It's like, wait, what does God actually say about you? In fact, to further buttress this point, I'm going to look at the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'll read from verses 1 to 5. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 5. It says, "But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." Now look at this. "Having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away." So these people have a form of godliness. They look like Christians, but they actually deny the power of God. They actually deny the power of God, right? The Bible says from such people, turn away, right? To be honest with you, when I think of this church, I like to think of a heart attack, right? Well, as many of you know, because I know a lot of medical people listening to this podcast, the heart is supplied by many blood vessels, right? By coronary vessels. Now, over the course of a person's life, if you make a lot of unhealthy choices, these vessels begin to fill up with plaque, cholesterol plaques. Now, trouble comes when those vessels get to some kind of 90%+ occlusion, right? So the thing is, a person can be walking around with a 90%+ occlusion, but they look completely normal. On the outside, they look completely normal. The state of their coronary vessels is hidden from view, right? You can't really see this state if you don't use specialized equipment, you know, like a coronary angiography, right? But unfortunately, these people, one day, they may drop dead from a heart attack. This church was pretty much similar, right? They looked alive on the outside, but there were some very, very serious issues on the inside, right? And one thing that I think I want to emphasize as I begin to draw this podcast to a close is that this process, there's a certain graduality to it, right? This process of dying happens slowly over the course of time. So you may not even notice it as it's like kind of creeping up on you, right? It's a slow process, but the terminal outcome can be very fatal. It can be very, very fatal. That's the same thing that happens in a person's walk with the Lord. If you're not serving God, if you're not pleasing God, and on the outside, it seems like, oh, I'm doing fine as a Christian, but you're dying spiritually, you're dying spiritually, you're dying spiritually. The thing is, it's a slow death, but man, you're heading in the wrong direction, right? You're literally heading in the wrong direction, right? Just like a heart attack. It's slow. You don't just develop 90%+ occlusion of your coronary arteries from a one-time event. No, it's something that happens over the course of a life, is not corrected, is not dealt with. And then one day, something really terrible happens, right? There's this part of, I think, the book of Proverbs. I can't remember exactly where I'm going to paraphrase, where it says that there's this person, after multiple warnings, if the person does not change, the Bible says the person will then suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy, right? So you notice sudden destruction, and you may be like, wow, what happened? No, it's a gradual process. The person was warned multiple times, but he refused to change. And because they refused to change, sudden destruction then came without remedy, right? There are certain times where it's like the person has a heart attack and at that point there's no remedy for it. The person is gone. You know, the person is gone. It's only if they maybe get like a heart transplant or something along those lines. So I'll just encourage you, heed the warnings of the Lord. And by the grace of God, in part two of this series, we're going to talk about God's remedy for this church. Because God is a very merciful God. And he actually gives this church a way to remedy their ways. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word that we have heard this morning. Lord, we pray for the grace to not be dead humans walking. Or if we're honestly, currently like dead men walking. You know, people that are walking, we look like we're alive, but we're actually dead on the inside. Father, we pray that may you give us the grace to repent, to realize the error of our ways. Because sometimes it helps to come to one's senses. Give us the grace to realize the error of our ways and give us the grace to change. Give us the grace to come back to you in repentance. And as we do so, Lord, please, like you accepted the prodigal son back, please, Lord, accept us back into your kingdom. And give us the grace to follow you with all our hearts, to fix our eyes on Jesus, and to be true Christ followers. This we ask in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So, for those that have not surrendered their lives to the Lord, it's a decision I will encourage you to make. But again, it's a decision where you have to count the cost. It's the best decision you can ever make in your life. But before you make that decision, I'll encourage you to listen to episodes 254 and 287 on the website. 254 and 287. It'll tell you about why you need a savior. And then if you do make that decision, at the end of episode 254, there's an opportunity for you to say a prayer of salvation and you can surrender your life to the Lord. If you do make that decision to surrender your life to the Lord, I will encourage you to listen to episodes 96 to 101 on the website, 96 to 101. It is titled The Five Basic Responsibilities of a Believer. The Five Basic Responsibilities of a Believer. It will tell you specific things you can do so you can grow in your walk with the Lord. So until episode 311, have a wonderful day. God bless you. Shalom and bye for now.